Together, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Mamish, you have no idea how to say how special this is. You know, we all have, I think all of us in different ways, busy weeks. Sometimes there are a lot of nisyonos that go on during the week. And we all, as Yidden, look forward to Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos Kodesh, a time to be one with Hashem, one with ourselves, one with our family, one with friends, just disconnect from all that. Let's hold this back. MS, I already look forward to starting Erev Shabbos Kodesh, you know? Erev Shabbos Kodesh is the Hachana for Shabbos, and that really starts right here at this table on Thursday night. It's something very special with the special tzaddikim, Talmidei Yosef Mikulam, so always a schus to be together. Before we begin, all the Torah tonight, all the Chizik tonight, all the Soros tonight is being sponsored. L'Refuah Shleima. Ah, tick. What are you, bro? You bought your own also? Yeah. Okay. Fuh Shalema, it's fine. We're saying sure already. You came in late. Fuh Shalema, a very, very Hail Gayir, a very big tzaddik. We've been davening for him. We've been saying Shiurim and Torah and Chizik and Zoras, and we have to continue. He's an Ish Chesed. He's a mamish like family to me, Yaakov and Sara. And all the Torah and the Chizik should be a big schos for his refuah. Should be a complete refuah b'karov b'soch sharchel Yisrael. In the chevra, as we enter into the end of Shemos, these last few parashas of Shemos, so some people get into these parashas and there's so many details, it's very detail-oriented, all the kelim of the Mishkan, of the Aron, of the Menorah, of the Shulchan, all the details of the measurements. And we miss, like we spoke about last week, we miss the storylines of Sefer Bereishis, the beginning of Shemos. But I think, mamish, no more special time to enter into these last few parashios, because Truma Tetzaveh, the Yaakov Pekudei, mamish, such a focus on Mishkan, and building the Mishkan, and the big Bikuna, and it refocuses us on Beis HaMikdash, and refocuses us to focus on the Gula, I think. You know, if you remember, I shared this going back too long ago. It feels like forever ago. Right after Yontav, right after October 7th. Might have been our first year together, our second year together, when I was zoche to be with my Rebbe, Umairi, Malta Zilber, Zichin Rebbe, Shlita. We were by Chabura, and we asked him, it was a few days after everything began. I can't believe we're talking, we're still in this. We asked him, what should be our focus? Where should our tefillahs go? And what should be the focal point of our avoda during these challenging times? And he said, obviously we daven for all those that have been hurt, have refuos, and we daven for nechama, and we daven for each soldier that she should be, well, the soldier should be safe. But he says, it's very important at times like this, to daven for geula, to daven for Mashiach. Sometimes we forget about that. Because we're so into the details, and we want to obviously protect our soldiers and protect Klal Yisrael and Am Yisrael and have Nechama. But the ultimate Nechama and the ultimate Refuah and the ultimate Shmir is going to come with the ultimate Gula, with Mashiach. And he says, these, when you have times like this, these are big times of Daven for Mashiach. We can't lose sight of that. Sometimes because it's somewhat foreign to us, because we've lived our lives for so long already without Mashiach, and so many doira, so many generations, it's hard to believe and it's hard to yearn for something we've never experienced. But it's so important. And I was talking earlier in the week to another Talmud who has a parent who's very, very sick. And this parent, unfortunately, is in a b'derech teva, not in a good place. really needs Nisim, really needs Nisim. And he's a young boy, the son, and we're talking, I was trying to give him some chizik, and I said, you know, we have to understand the reality of what's going on at the same time. We don't stop hoping for an ace. And I said, even if you can't fathom in the situation that your parent is in, that there's going to be an ace, and there's people are saying, not much hope, b'derech teva. You know, if you can't understand and you can't believe in the potential of an ace for the individual, believe that there's potential Mashiach coming. And imamim b'chol yom shiyavo. And that's going to bring the ultimate nisim. And that's going to bring complete refuah and complete Yeshua. And we have to daven for this. And that will be the end of all this. This war that we also can't see an end. We've been in it for so long and still it feels so long away with so many hostages and so many terrorists. And so much of the world that clearly hates us and doesn't see the emes. And imamim b'chol yom shiyavo. We have to believe and we have to daven. And I think these parshas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, we've said it here, we say it here most weeks, I think, that we, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zeich HaSad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taught us, we have to live with the parsha. And I was talking, just a side story, everything is Min HaShemayim, Hashkacha, it's crazy, like the connections that we all have. So I had this chus this week, yesterday, to be the kohen by a pidgin aben of very special Talmud and Talmidah, Yoni Sonnenschein, Rabbi Yoni Sonnenschein, and Zeishas Chayil Esti for their son Yosef Chaim. It's beautiful, beautiful to be able to be part of a pidgin aben. Obviously, a pidgin aben is something very rare. Anyone here had a pidgin aben? Anyone? You have to have a desire? Yes, there you go. But it's very rare. You have to have a firstborn son, and you have to have where both parents are not a kohen or Levi. You have to have a natural birth. You have to have no previous serious miscarriages. You put that all together, maybe 10-15% of families have a pidgin aben, right? So it's always very special. And as a kohen, it feels like, you know, at least be able to be involved, do some avodah as a kohen here in Chutz Laaretz. And I was talking to the father, to Yoni's father, and we were making some connections, and he was telling me how he was zocha a few times to have yichidus with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He said, really? He told me twice. I said, I was by the Lubavitcher Rebbe twice also. I was a little kid. I didn't have yichidus. I went to get dollars at least. I think I showed some of the chevra. I have a movie with the Rebbe. I have a picture with the Rebbe. So I said, you know, my he says, how'd you get it? What was Pshat? I said, oh, my, it's all to do, but I was makusher through marriage to... It's a very, very well-known Chabad family, Gansberg, Hirsch Gansberg, Zeichat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose last wife was my mother's ex-aunt, my ex-great aunt. We used to go Purim Sudah. He says, Hirsch Gansberg, that was my connection also. I said, what do you mean? His previous wife was a cousin of his. So Lameisa, we're both connected, and both were Zeichat to be by the Rebbe from the same person. What are the chances? Only in Klal Yisrael you make within moments these connections. Like you can't even make it up. It's amazing, right? Such a small world. But what's such a small world? As we've said here so many times, because we're one. Because Klal Yisrael is one, and we're so, every one of us here at this table is one. We're one. We're brothers. We're not brothers. We're more than brothers. We're one. And that's why we're one with every Yid in Eretz Yisrael and every soldier in Eretz Yisrael. And we feel it, and we're davening for it. So we have to daven for the ultimate Geula. I think these parshas come right now. As Lubavitcher Rebbe Zeich HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us, we have to live with the parsha. So if we're learning about the parshas of the Mishkan, learning of the parshas of the Big Day Kahuna, at this time in history, we have to even more so be davening for ultimate Geula. More for davening for Mashiach. That we should be zoichet to be going into Beis HaMikdash with the Big Day Kahuna. You know, Chevra, in Parshas Truma, I think, you know, I'm sure most of the Chevra has heard this Torah. I think it's the most, you know, there's always, every parasha has its, like, really famous Torahs. So, we have the famous Pasuk, but I want to delve into this a little bit deeper. We have the famous Pasuk, V'asuli migdash v'shechanti besochem. At the end of all the nedavos, all of the donations that Klal Yisrael was giving, make for me a migdash, make for me a holy place, First the Mishkan, then the Beis HaMikdash. V'shachanti b'socham. What does that mean? How would you translate that in English, Chavra? V'shachanti b'socham. Hashem says, make for me a Mikdash. Make for me a holy house. And I will what? I will dwell b'socham. What's b'socham?
In them.
B'shachanti b'socham, right? V'asuli Mikdash, make for me a Mikdash. V'shachanti b'socham, I'll dwell in them. What should it say? B'socho. Right? Asuli Mikdash, it should say make for Mikdash. V'shachanti b'socho. And I'll dwell in it. What does it mean, make for me a Mikdash? V'shachanti b'socham. And I'll dwell in them. Doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, in them? It's one Mikdash. It's one Mishkan. What's in them? So the very, very famous idea brought down in all the Sefer Chassidus, which we'll get back to. But I want to first talk about something that I saw this year for the first time. A medrash on the words li, v'asuli. V'asuli Mikdash. What does the medrash say? It's a Sefrei in Ba'al Yitzchak. I'll read you the medrash. The medrash says, Shebechol makom shenemar li. Any place it says li, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here it says, v'asuli, make for me. And he says, it's li. Kayem l'oilam l'olmei alamim. It's something that's going to be there. It's going to be Mekayim. It's going to be fulfilled forever and ever. For all generations. And he gives examples. B'kohanim. Hu omer v'chahano li. Should be a kohen for me. So kohanim will be all generations. I have this chus to be a kohen. I'm still here as a kohen. From the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Aaron ubanav kohanim, I'm still a kohen. L'dare dares. B'levim. B'levim. We have any levim here? No levim. Seems that right, levim are more rare than kohanim even. Levim hu omer v'hayu li ha-levim. Li ha-levim. So it's forever there will be levim. Be Yisrael. We have Yisraelim here. Hu omer ki li b'nei Yisrael. Li, right again, the Lashon li. There will always be Yisraelim. B'choros. By a b'char. I did a pinyon aban yesterday. Hu omer ki li kol b'char b'nei Yisrael. There will always be b'char. But listen to the last example in the medrash. The pasuk I just read, b'migdash, by the Mikdash, who omer ba'asu li Mikdash. So Medrash says anytime it says li, it's la'ilam ulomei alamim. It's forever and ever. So there will always be Kohanim, there will always be Levim, there will always be Israelim, there will always be Bechayrim, and there will always be a Mikdash. Really? That's pshat, there will always be a Mikdash. Does that make sense, Chevra? I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael about 3 weeks ago. And one morning, like I do whenever in Eretz Yisrael, I spent about 3-4 hours davening and learning and exposed this on the top of Shuvu Banim Yeshiva. I've spoken about this before, Chevra. Everyone knows the Makom. If you haven't been there, I'm sorry. It's to me the most special place in the world. And right, the top of Shuvu Banim in the Muslim quarter is the Yeshiva, directly opposite Har HaBayis. It's of the highest points in the Old City. Directly opposite Arabayas, looking down on Arabayas. Incredible. If you haven't seen, I'll show you a picture after. And I was looking down on Arabayas for a few hours, a few weeks ago. You know what I was looking at? I mean, I was looking at the ground of Arabayas, the holiest place in the world. But I was also looking at a mosque, a golden mosque, sitting on top of that makom. I wasn't looking at the Beis HaMikdash. I was looking at the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. And I was envisioning the Beis HaMikdash, what once was and what will be. But right now, do we have Beis HaMikdash? Unfortunately not. We're yearning for Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean, anytime it says, Li, Kayim La'olam Ulmei Olamim, it's forever and ever. What does that mean, it's forever and ever? Do we have Beis HaMikdash now? If we have Beis HaMikdash now, would we be suffering with all these wars? Would we be suffering with losing 1,200 Yidden on October 7th, another 230 about soldiers since then? That wouldn't be happening. So what does it mean in Flawley Amam? Alamim.
It's more than Li than the
Li. V'asu Li Mikdash. Li for me.
The Li is...
B'Mikdash Omer. Well, where's the Mikdash? There's no Mikdash. For the last close to 2,000 years, there hasn't been a Beis Mikdash. One the 1,150 years, there hasn't been a Beis Mikdash. Okay, we'll come back to this. So remember, so we have two major questions in this pasuk. Li seems to be forever, which lemaisa we don't have right now. And what's it mean, besocham, that Hashem says I'll dwell in them? We have to build a little bit more chevra, a little bit more, and we're going to get there. There's a pasuk in Chagai. Chevra, listen, bear with me. We're developing tonight. There's all different types of Torahs we give over. Sometimes you have a question, a quick answer, and then you just build off that. And tonight we're building a yisod for life. A yisod that we could walk away with. And mamish be, I believe, life-altering if we live our lives with this Torah. I really believe that. There's a pasuk in Chagai. It's a very difficult pasuk to understand. It says, Gadol yeh kvoid habayis hazeh ha'achron min harishon. It's talking about the second base of Mikdash. Achron, the later one, the second one, even though maybe we could understand later talking about the third one as well, but definitely at this point it's talking about the second base of Mikdash, is greater than the first base of Mikdash. What does that mean, the second base of Mikdash is greater than the first base of Mikdash? So there's a Gemara in Baba Basra. If you learn Baba Basra, it's all the way at the beginning, Daf Gimel, all the way in the bottom. And this is Machlokas, what that means. One opinion says, Bebinyan, in the building itself, in the height. The height of the first base of Mikdash was 30 amos. The height of the second base of Mikdash was 100 amos. It's much greater. And another opinion is Bishanim, in years. First base of Mikdash was how long? 410 years. Second base of Mikdash was 420 years. It was greater. So that's the machlokes. Was it greater in binyan in size or greater in years? Because the pasuk says it was greater. The problem is, we have a Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma tells us something else about the second base of Mikdash in comparison to the first base of Mikdash. Based on a pasuk in Chagai as well, the Eretz Bo, talking about the second base of Mikdash, I'll desire it. Vekavda. But Vekavda, Vav Aleph Chav Beis Dal, it is spelled without a hey. But the Kri, you pronounce it with a hey. The hey is missing, but you pronounce the hey. So the Gemara says, Vekarina and Vekavda. Maishnad mechusar hay. Why is it lacking the hay in this word that says it will, that the basic meaning will bring glory to Hashem? Ve'kavda, and I'll find glory in it. Elu chamisha dvarim shahayu bein migdash rishon l'migdash sheni. There were five things that were in the first base of migdash that were not in the second base of migdash. Ve'elu hein aron ve'kaporas ve'kruvim. That's all one. The aron, the covering of the aron, and the kruvim. That's all the aron. I mean, the aron was in the first base of Mikdash, not in the second base of Mikdash. Eish tamid tukam bech l'slichbe, the fire, the miraculous fire that was on top of the bech that never went out, was always there. Even when it was raining, it didn't go out. Eish was only in the first base of Mikdash, not in the second base of Mikdash. The Shechina, the presence of the Shechina itself, whatever exactly that means, the aura of the Shechina, only in the first base of Mikdash, not in the second base of Mikdash. Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh, divine understanding, was only in the first Beit HaMikdash, not in the second Beit HaMikdash. The Urim V'Tumim, the Kohen Gadol, who could ask the Urim V'Tumim questions and get miraculous answers by lighting up on the Choshen, that was only in the first Beit HaMikdash, not in the second Beit HaMikdash. All of these things represent the presence of the Rabbeinu Shalom Begilo in a revealed way. That's what they all represent. The Aron had the Kruvim on top that would face each other when we're doing it right, go back to back when not. The fire that was so miraculous, always there, the Eish of Hashem, the Shechina, the Urim V'Tumim, they were only in the first Beit HaMikdash, not in the second Beit HaMikdash. So I ask you, if that's true, you could say that the second Beit HaMikdash was greater than the first Beit HaMikdash? Shkoyach might have been a little taller. Shkoyach might have lasted a little longer. But the most kadosh symbolisms and the most kadosh things that existed in the first Beit HaMikdash were not in the second Beit HaMikdash. And it's gadol that you could say that. You saw someone's greater because he's a little taller than another person physically. Would you ever say such a thing? Do we ever look at it like, really? Someone's greater because he lived a little bit longer? You're greater if you have more mitzvahs, if you're more Torah, more tefillah, more, you're more chesed, more... What does that have to do with, like, details, physical details? Physical details of Beit HaMikdash makes it greater? How could that be? How could the second base of Mikdash be greater than the first base of Mikdash if it was lacking the Aron, lacking Shechina, lacking Urim V'Tuvim, lacking Ruach HaKodesh? So, Chevra, I want to develop something very special here. It's based on a Kedushas Levi. Hey, look at Kedushas Levi. It's found in his Drasha for Chanukah. Tells us that the first base of Mikdash was Keneged Torah Shviksav, and the second base of Migdash was Keneged Torah Shvalpah. First Beis HaMikdash was Keneged Torah Shebiksav, and the second Beis HaMikdash was Keneged Torah Shebal Peh. Third Beis HaMikdash is going to be the synthesis of both, and we'll get to that eventually, but as Hashem, we'll talk about that. What's the difference between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebal Peh? And what is that telling us, and what could we be? And now we're going to bring this all home. Chaver, watch this. Torah Shebiksav is something very physical. Torah Shebiksav was written, it's there. Yes, it's for us to understand a little bit deeper, but ultimately, it is as is. It's psukim from the Eivishter that we have no right to add on, to subtract from. It is as it is. You're missing one letter from a Torah, it's puzzle. You add letters to the Torah, it's puzzle. You have the Torah, you have the psukim. It's very physical, it's very much there. It's very much present. You can see it, you can feel it, you can sense it. What is Torah Shebal Peh? The oral Torah. The oral Torah is obviously way more esoteric, way more out there, way more spiritual. What grounds the oral Torah? We ground the oral Torah. We become the klaf of the oral Torah. You and I, in our conversations of Torah Shebal Peh, when you sit and learn a Gemara, yes, eventually it was written down, but the mice, it's Torah Shebal Peh. And we're the klaf of the Torah Shebal Peh. Our hearts, our minds, our mouths, ourselves. That's why it is. What do we eventually put into Geniza? What do we eventually put into the ground and has to be buried in the ground to show a certain chashivas and kedusha, svarim, sefer Torah, and the person's body, which is the klaf of the Torah Shebal Peh. That's the kedusha of it. That's the kedusha of it. And it's etched in our heart. And we take our physical body of who each and every one of us comes into this world as a physical being. And when we learn Torah and we connect to Torah through Torah Shebal Peh, it becomes part and parcel of who we are in our deepest depth, in our panemius. We are the klaf of the Torah Shebal Peh. It's only an oral Torah. It's not written. It's written on my heart. Luch libecha. So let's bring this all together, Chevra. Let's bring this all together. Again, the first Beis HaMikdash Torah Shebiksav, the second Beis HaMikdash Torah Shebal Peh, the second Beis HaMikdash, which says, was greater than the first Beis HaMikdash, even though it was lacking all of the Gila Shechina, was lacking the Aron, lacking Ruach Kodesh, lacking Shechina. But we also said something else that we'll come back to, and we said that somehow the Beis HaMikdash is L'netach Netzachim L'Ola, even though it doesn't physically exist now, it's still here somehow. That's what the Medrash says. On the word li, also li, everything that says li, l'ole l'olamim. So, chevra, I read for you this pasuk. And the Sfarim explain, Tzadikim explain, v'asol l'migdash v'shachanti b'socham. Make for me a migdash v'shachanti b'socham, and I'll dwell in them. As we said before, it should say, v'asol l'migdash v'shachanti b'socham. Make for me a migdash, and I'll dwell in it. You know what b'socham means? What's the goal? The Rebbeinu Shem, the Medrash says in this week's Parsha that I want to have a dira b'tachtonim. Hashem says, I want to dwell in this world. So where is he dwelling? We think in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. No, we got it all wrong. That's just a building. That's just so we could envision him in this world and give him a so-called bias. But it doesn't say b'socho. It says, Hashem doesn't say I want to dwell in it. He says b'socham, in them. And Svarim bring down, I want to dwell, b'soch kol echa v'echa, b'socham, in them means you and I. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything else in the world to dwell in you and I. That the Shekhinah should be within us. That we should be a walking Migdash Ma'at. Every single one of us should be that Migdash Ma'at. V'shachanti b'socham, that Hashem should dwell in us. Hashem should dwell in us. Hashem gave a first Beis HaMikdash. And that first Beis HaMikdash was Kodesh Kedashim. It had all these miraculous miracles. That first Beis HaMikdash had the Shechina. And that first Beis HaMikdash had the Urim V'Tumim. And that first Beis HaMikdash had Ruach HaKodesh. And that first Beis HaMikdash had the Aron. And none of this, and it had an Eish, and a fire that was always there, representing Hashem's Shechina always there. None of that exists in the second Beis HaMikdash, and the second Beis HaMikdash is greater. You know why? Despite all of that Kedusha there, but maybe because of it, what ended up happening? What ended up happening by Churban Beis HaMikdash? We end up sinning Gilei Raya, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. How is that possible? How is it possible that when we had a Beis HaMikdash with such clarity, with such miracles, with such godliness, that we went and we're serving idols and we're murdering and we're involved in illicit relations? How is that possible? You and I, we mess up. Arye Cohen messes up. Arye Cohen doesn't live up to close the type of Jew that I'm supposed to be. I don't daven the way I should. I don't treat people the way I should. I want to be so much better. But that's because I have a chisaron. My chisaron is, as much as I try to envision Hashem, and I believe He's by my side, I don't see Him with such clarity, and that's why I'm nichshal at times. I'd like to believe, if I really saw the Kadosh Baruch Hu mamish next to me always, I'd be a different person. That's why all Shulchan Aruch starts with that. When you had a Beis HaMikdash, you had a Kadosh Baruch Hu as clearly as could be. And we messed up. Why? Maybe because of it. A Kadosh Baruch Hu realized because of it. In other words, what? Because it was so clear in the Beis HaMikdash, it was as if that's where Hashem is. He's right there. It was harder to then understand and believe He's within me. That He's not just there, He's here. It's like I have to be there to feel close to Him. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, that's not what it's all about. And therefore He destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. He saw it wasn't working out. It wasn't as planned. Comes along the second Beis HaMikdash, He makes another Beis HaMikdash. And that Beis HaMikdash is supposed to represent the ability to bring godliness into this world. Not that God's just up there somewhere, Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem. The earth, the son of Bnei Adam, and bring Hashem into the world. But He makes a Beis HaMikdash. This time He says, you have a Beis HaMikdash. And a place to serve me. A place to bring karbanos. A place to light a menorah. A place to have a shulchan. A place to have gatherings of oil regel. But it's going to be void of that giloy shechina in such a way. The shechina won't be there in that same way. The Ruach HaKodesh won't be there. The Urim V'Tumim won't be there. Why? Because I don't want it to be there. I want it to be within you. I want you to recognize that. And maybe you couldn't see that because you thought it was there because of how giloy it was. And Hashem wants you to be the basis for the Shechina. To be the foundation for the Shechina. And therefore, exactly because of these five Chesronos of the second Beis HaMikdash, because of that which was lacking, that's why Gadol Yikvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. Because that then was much greater. Because then we were able, you and I, to bring Him into my life. If He's not there, He's here. Then I could realize, no, He's within me. And it's V'asuli Mikdash V'shechanti B'socham B'soch Kol Echad V'Echad. That's the avoda. That's the avoda. And if we realize this, we'd be different people. I couldn't, if I have the Ribbono Shel Olam in me, and I'm not going to daven with the utmost kavana. I have the Ribbono Shel Olam within me, and I'm going to allow. You know, there's a certain busha. I remember, years ago, my Rebbe Amir Rav Lachman Shlita. Rav Lachman was coming over to my house to give a shiur in my house. And he called up. He says, Ari, I've been busy and crazy. You have somewhere I could lay down a little bit before the shiur? I'm going to come a little earlier, maybe, if I could lay down a little bit. I said, of course, Rabbi. Now, this was not in this house. It was my old house. My old house was a very, very, very small house. I didn't really have a guest room or anything. So I had in the basement, and upstairs was three small bedrooms. There wasn't anywhere. I'm not going to go in my own bedroom, and like a tiny little room with a crib, and then my girls in three. So in the basement, we had a room which was my son Shmuel's room. So okay, that's where it made sense. He could go lie down in the basement. He'll be by himself. There's a bathroom down there, whatever. So he'll lay down in Shmuel's room. So I walk into Shmuel's room to see if the bed is made, just so that, That's when we had guests, he'd be there, and Shmuel would come lay upstairs. He had two beds in there. And I see Shmuel, but this was back. Shmuel was probably 12 or 13 years old. And I look, and he has on the wall this massive, life-size picture of Carmelo Anthony. It's back in the old Knick days, life-size of Amari Stoudemire. Mamish, big time. Okay, normal for a teenager. It wasn't, but then I'm mamish. The first time it hit me strong, I'm like, oh my gosh, my Rebbe's going to come down here. This is he's going to think I'm such a failure. And this is how I'm raising my kids. These are the role models of, And I really thought about it. I'm thinking, should I take them all down and put them? And then I have to be MS. Rav Lachman's all about being MS. It is what it is. We'll deal with it. And Hashem took care, and when he ended up coming late and said he doesn't want to lay down, never ended up going down there. That's what happened. But there was a certain busha that I had, that my Rebbe should go into a room like that. Imagine the busha if we really believed and knew and understood the Eibishter is within us. The busha we should have. And that's what it should be. That's what Gadol Yekvod Abayas Zahachrim in Arishon. That's what I thought. I'm amazing. This is a Zohar. I hope the Chavra went to the mikveh today, but I should really give a warning. We learned the Zohar together. But okay. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. A lot of Yidden together also. We're with the Eibish there. It's good. So the Zohar says in the beginning, in Bereishis Chafei, Baruch Kvod Hashem in Komo. Baruch Kvod Hashem in Komo. Kvod Hashem, the honor of Hashem, Shchinta Tata, is what we call the lower Shchina. Mimkomo Shchinta Ilah. Mimkomo, his place, is the upper realm of the Shchina. We have this concept often in Kabbalistic Lashon, Isrusa del El is the Tata. Le'el is all from the Eibishter. Tata is what we do. So maybe what Zohar is telling us, the word kavod, Kvod Hashem, giving respect to Hashem, is Tata, is what, it's through our action, through our mitzvahs, through what we do. Shchinta, the ilah is Mekoma, it's Makom Hashem, right? Eibishter wants, and what's so much greater to the Eibishter is when we bring the Rabbanu Shem into the world, when we show, and through our Torah, through our mitzvahs, and we bring the Shechina to the world, we show the Shechina is with us. What was the Lashon in Chagai? I think incredible. And what did Zohar say? That's represented by Kvod Hashem, right? Gadol yeh Kvod HaBayis HaZeh Achron Min HaRishon. Gadol yeh Kvod. Why Kvod? Because in the second bias, we didn't rely on saying, oh, the Eibishter is here, I'm good to go, and I could do my thing, and therefore end up with Gimel Averos. No. Gadol yeh Kvod HaBayis HaZeh Achron. There was Kvod. There's Kvod Hashem. We realized, wait, the Shechina is not here in the same way. I got to bring the Shechina into the world. Through my ma'isim, through my action, through being this bosses. However, we're still, I know, was it last week or 2 weeks ago we gave the Shoivim share? It's 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago we gave the big Shoivim share. But we know in a leap year, Shoivim continues. In a leap year like we're in, it's really known as Shoivim Tat. There's Svarim to bring down, we mentioned this 6-7 weeks ago, that the Ikar Shoivim is in a leap year. And therefore, the Ikar Shoivim is really right now, in the parashas of Truma Tetzave, right now. Because that's the ultimate goal, right? If you understand why Shoivim, this incredible time period of tshuva, of growth, it's patterned after the parashas, because Shemos Ve'era Bo is when we were in Galus, in the lowest of places. And then, Shalach Yisro Mishpatim is what? Is Geula, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the reception of the Torah, Kabbalah's Torah. And that's that pattern. And every year we could relive that and take ourselves out of the lowest of places and end up with a new Kabbalah's Torah, a new connection to Hashem. But the ultimate is Truma Tesav. The ultimate is then to bring the Shechina through Vasul Yimigdash V'Shachanti B'Socham. That's the ultimate goal. But it's like we just read, B'Socham, B'Soch Kolecha V'Echa. Bring the Rabbanu Shalom into my heart. Bring it into my life. That's Gadol Achrum in Arish. That's Torah Shva Peh. That's why we spend so much time Torah Shva Peh, because that is ingrained within our hearts. We are the Klaf. We are the Klaf. You know, it's an amazing thing. Both the Aron and the Menorah represent Torah. Right? By the Menorah, the Gemara in Baba Basra says, "Haroitza shiyachkim." If you want to have chachma in Torah, yadrim. You should. The Rashi explains you should daven towards the south because that's where the menorah was. The or of the menorah represents Torah, right? Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. The aron had the luchos in it, had the Torah in it. In fact, it's a beautiful medrash on this week's parsha. By all the kalim, it says vasisa. You should make. By the aron, what to say? Vasu in plural. Va'asu Aron. They made an Aron. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shalom Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yavo HaKol V'yasku Ba'aron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said everybody should come and deal with the Aron. Va'asu, everybody should make the Aron. Why? Kadesh Yisku Kulam LaTorah. Everyone should connect to Torah. The Aron is Torah. So the menorah is Torah and the Aron is Torah. Yet, in the second base of Megiddo, you only had the menorah, not the Aron. So you don't have Torah. The Aron is Torah Shebiksav. The Aron had the written Torah, had the Luchos. The menorah is Torah Shebaalpeh, or light, it's more out there, it's not physical. The first Beis HaMikdash says Torah Shebiksav, which is the Gilui Shechina, which is more connected to the Eibishter, that had to be hidden away, Torah Shebaalpeh, where we become the Klaf. So the menorah is still in the second Beis HaMikdash, but we don't have the Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash. And that's our vadol godli ha'achron min harishon. It doesn't say godli ha'sheni min harishon. It's ha'achron. This is the final place we're supposed to be. We're supposed to reconnect to that and bring that back. However, we said it's still shoivim. We're still be made shoivim. And shoivim, as we spoke about at length 2 weeks ago, is such a focus on proper kedusha and Shmir Sinayim, and only looking at things we're supposed to be looking at. And only be involved in activities that are ben Torah, that someone... If you realize I have the Shechina within me, realize v'shechanti b'solcham, and that, as we said, now we can understand the Medrash, that li, v'asu li migdash is kaim la'olam olamim, it's forever and ever. Now we can understand that it's forever and ever. Why? What's forever? Migdash is forever and ever. Yes! V'shechanti b'solcham, not the physical building, but the Shechina within me, which is ultimately what the Eibishter wants. Within each and every one of us. So I could ever bring myself to look at something inappropriate? The same way the bush I had for Rav Blachman. Achas kama v'kama. If we really believe the Rabbeinu Shalom Shechina is within me, I could allow myself to look at something so inappropriate that a person could do that. But we have to believe it. V'shechanti b'socham. Each and every one of us, chaver, we have this. Do we believe for a moment? We say every morning, we wake up, the first thing we say in the morning, Moida ani lefanecha. The first recognition of the day, first we say thank you, to realize most important of the year is always to give Hakaras HaTov, to be a thankful person. Such an important midah to always be thankful. It was amazing. I don't know if I spoke about this here, but maybe I did. I said a couple weeks ago, it was last week, maybe last week, brought into Diras, Rabbi Storch brought into Diras, Rav Dov Zinger, to speak to the Rabbeim. Zinger came to speak to the Rebbe, and we had 2 hours with him. And it was an interaction. It was a lot. It was very beautiful. He's very deep yid, very pnimistic yid. And there was a lot of conversations back and forth, a lot of interaction. It wasn't like just a shiur. And one of the most uplifting parts of the whole entire thing, what I took away more than almost anything else, anyone who just gave a thought, gave an opinion, said something, whether he agreed or didn't agree, whether he liked it or he ended up questioning it. His first reaction, this tzaddik of an individual, it was all in Hebrew, he said, Todah. Everything, Todah. But in a very sincere, authentic way. He appreciated your thought. He wanted to first thank you for offering something to him, for giving him something to think about. Todah. And you know what? That's beautiful. That's what we're Yehudim. Yehudim Melashon Hodah. So the first word out of his mouth is Moda. Modani lefanecha, melech chayiv. Then we say, you're a living God. You know, how often we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu melech chayiv? Not so common. We call him a melech, melech malchem lachim. We say, every bracha we say malchus, but melech chayiv, because we want to realize, right, he's alive, he's really here. But then we say, shechazarta b'nishmasi. Right away, of our biggest recognitions in the morning, the first thing is that I have a neshama. But what is a neshama? Learn Tanya, learn Rabbeinu Bechaye. A neshama is chelek eloka mimal mamish. That means you and I, every one of us, has a part and parcel of the Rabbeinu Shalom in us. The Shechina is within me. V'asali migdash, make li lo'il me'alamim. For all generations, you and I, sitting here in Tafshim Pei Dalet, in 5,784, close to 2,000 years after the physical base of Migdash is destroyed, Asuli Migdash, make me a holy place, v'shechanti b'socham, because I'm going to dwell in them, in each and every one of us. We have an neshama within us. How can I not make myself holy? I'm going to look at something inappropriate. I'm going to be involved in things in this world which are not appropriate. I'm going to be lo aleinu, not the nicest person I could be to every person. I have a shechina within me. We have to think like this. We have to believe it. We say it every morning. First thing we say. And that's what we're building. Li lo aleinu alamim. We have to believe this. Don't think it has to be the Shechinah's there. And it's a big yisod, especially for you and I, who are right now, for whatever reason, in Chutz La'aretz. And I'll invite all of us by next Thursday night, we should be zoich, have shir in Yerushalayim Erech Kodesh. This should be the final shir in Chutz La'aretz. We have to believe it and we have to want it. But for whatever reason, you and I are still here. And sometimes when you're here and you're in Chutz La'aretz, halavai, we're all yearning to be there. But sometimes it's like, there, that's where I feel the Rabban Shalom. That's where I feel close. When I'm in yeshiva there, when I'm by the Kaisel, I could daven, by Kebarach, I could daven. That's where the Shekhinah's presence is. The truth is, it's not untrue that it's more felt on a physical way. But someone who says, I need to be there to be my best self, that's a bias rishon dikiyud. That's a bias rishon that had all the gila Shekhinah, but didn't realize the ikar Shekhinah is within you. And that Beis HaMikdash lasted way less years and was much smaller. And Gadol Yachron Min HaRishon. You know, I remember, I've shared this story before, but you know, I had this chus to learn in Karen B'Avn and KBY. KBY, some maybe anyone ever even been to KBY, even visited KBY. KBY is this very big, beautiful campus. And the dorms are spread throughout the campus, and the minhag was when a guy was leaving KBY for the final time. This wasn't my year, this story, actually. I heard the story from Rabbi Moshe Benevitz, who was in KBY a few years before me. But I remember the minhag by us, too. When a guy was leaving KBY for the final time to like go to his flight, guys would leave at different times. Different, you know, some guys would leave halfway through Shana Bet, some guys pay something. But like, and even those different days. So the cab would drive all the way up to the dorm. And all the chevra would gather there to leave, like be malava the guy out and sing and dance. So all the guys were gathered by one particular guy, and the cab comes and the bags are there, and the guy is nowhere to be found. And you know, it's some Israeli cab driver, so he's getting all nervous and has no savlonis, and he's like, I'm out of here, I'm going. He's ready to take the bags and go to the airport without the guy. You know, like, you know how it goes. You know how these guys are. And the guys are trying to calm him down, tell him, start the meter, don't worry. But he doesn't care. It's not like, there's no common sense. It's just like, that's it. They have more amuna than we have on our pinkies. But like, savlanus is a whole different story, you know? Anyways, everyone's, where's the guy? Where can he be? All his bags and everyone, the cab is supposed to be here. It was a time he knew. Everyone's looking all over. They can't find him. Guys going to the base medrash, going to the chadar ochel, going to Sifriya, go all over the place. Finally, a few of you guys find him. In KBY, you have a big, beautiful base medrash, and there's an upstairs. The upstairs is like the women's section. Some of the chevra used to learn in the upstairs. I used to learn second seder upstairs. It's like carpeted a little nicer. You have big tables and nice chairs. I used to learn second seder. It's my chavrus, Chaim Reblowski. Remember, first year I went through getting half of Kedushin upstairs by Pesach. It was an amazing makom. I have good memories there. And against one full wall are all the svarim of the first Rosh Hashiva of Keren B'Yavne, who was a gadol dor of Chaim Yaakov Goldach, Zichus HaDekash Bracha. He was a Rosh Hashiva who began the first Hezder Yeshiva. He brought the Hezder movement into Eretz Yisrael, which has been incredible for Eretz Yisrael to have so many tzaddikim, to be able to sit and learn many years and still go into the army and protect Eretz Yisrael and go back to learn. It's incredible. So his svarim are there. He used to be able to take and learn from his svarim, especially, you know. So a few of the guys found upstairs, this Talmud who's going to leave. He's upstairs with his arms outstretched against the Svarim, crying, mamish crying and wailing, I need you, I can't be without you. Imagine the sincerity, the authenticity, what his connection to Torah was, that he mamish couldn't bring himself to leave the makom that built him in Torah. And he couldn't go. He was holding, literally hugging the Svarim. I need you, I can't be without you. It's a beautiful story. But Lenias Daiti, he's completely wrong. He's right that what his argasha was. Who could say someone's wrong? You don't tell someone you're wrong when you're in an emotional point. But at the same time, he was feeling that moment. It's like, I need to be, where could I learn? Where could I grow? And where? Only here. Because there's where, to him, the Gila Shechina was. There's where his Torah was. There's where his Rabbein was. For us to leave Migdash v'shachanti b'socham, if we understand Gadol Acham and Arishon, we understand what we're saying tonight, I bring the Rabbanu Shalom wherever I go. He's within me. Of course we need connection through Torah, through Tefillah, through the Shechinta Tata, through the Yisrus of the Tata. But guess what? Last time I checked, all those same Svarim, we got them here as well. And the same Siddurim that you have in Eretz Yisrael, you have in Chutz La'aretz. Again, I'm not saying, Chas V'Shalom, don't quote me, I'm not saying we shouldn't want to be there. And I'm not saying there's a godless Tobias Rishon also and that you could feel it. But sometimes, because of that, you don't live up to who you're supposed to be. And we have to have the synthesis of both. And that's what's going to ultimately buy a Shlishi. Buy a Shlishi is Tiferes. Buy a Shlishi is the synthesis of both. Buy a Shlishi is where, of course, we're going to have the Makom of the Gila Shechina of Torah Shebiksav. We're going to all be there in Eretz Yisrael. But with the connection on such a deep level that I'm bringing the Ribbono Shel Olam within me wherever I am. Until that time, I got to be by a Sheni Degiyid. Until that time, I have to believe, each and every one of us, that I have a neshama, I have a chelik al kami mamamish. I have to believe that I'm with the Ribbono Shel Olam every moment. He's within me. And then I live a different life. I act a different way. I speak a different way. I have a different level of emunah. Nisyonos come my way. Challenges come my way. We all have our nisyonos. It's all good. I'm with the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's within me. He's going to take care. He's going to orchestrate. It's going to be all right. It's a different life. Baruch Hashem, it's Baruch. We should be zoicha. In the schus that we understand, Gadol Achron and Harishon, we should be zoicha to the ultimate Achron, not just the Sheni, but the Shlishi, with the synthesis of not just having the Ribbono Shel Olam in our hearts every minute, but also V'hayo Bayomu Yashem Echadish Mochad, with the Gula Shlema, with the Mashiach Zidkenu, with all the nechama that we're yearning for, with all the refuos, for all the refuos, with tzchias amesim, from all of the yidden that recently we've lost, that we've always lost, with the gula shleimo, with mishil chakenu, here of the Yemenu.